Hello, human peoples. You're listening to the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. Support us and gain access to great exclusive podcasts like Fox Mulder is a Maniac, Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Star Trek The Next Futurama, and our latest show, Spiel Boys. Head over to patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We do game streaming, movie nights with our patrons every Friday night, and you can even commission your own podcast about anything you want. Literally anything, within reason, and we have to do it. You are quite frankly out of excuses not to go visit patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/gamefully unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds.
Okay, so this patron does have other movies for us, but this might be the last of the...
Of the
quadrilogy,
Irish?
Of the Irish musical.
The Irish musicals?
Quadrilogy. I think. Don't hold me to that. Hi, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
My name is Tom Ryman.
And we just watched Sing Street.
Bad Sings movie. Treat. Sings Treat.
Sings Treat. Sure. Yeah. Better name. I don't like this
Book
name,
and Tom. Music by Treat Williams.
Yeah. R.I.P.
R.I.P., man. Damn.
That's got fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Have you kissed her yet?
She's got a boyfriend. Pulled off in his car, music blaring.
What was he listening to?
Genesis.
No woman can truly love a man who listens to Phil Collins.
Poor Treat.
I know.
Fucking, what's Dead Something?
What?
What's the movie? Dead Cop. Dead Cop.
Oh.
Dead Heat.
Dead Heat. That's what it was called.
Dead Heat.
It's a solid title.
It's a solid title. Solid movie. That's not what we're talking about, though. Big old, hey. Big old thank you to Mickey for Therapy 2024. Mickey, thank you so much. This has been a journey through the music of Ireland.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Yeah,
not
thank
a bad
you.
Journey.
No. It's been really interesting.
Yeah, this is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, this is from the director of Once, John Carney.
Okay, I believe that.
Yeah.
It's very similar to Once.
It is. And also, it's got like a lot of... So the main band kids, that none of them are actors. Obviously, there are actors in here. Littlefinger is popping up.
Yeah, and I feel like that has to be discussed for our poor little downtrodden main character. It's like, oh, man. You know... Fate's dealt you a bad hand when you're poor Irish immigrants in the 1980s and your dad is Littlefinger. It's like, dude,
I know.
You are doomed.
It's Littlefinger doing the part of Cole Meany in this, where it's like, let's get a dad, let's get a famous dad.
It's exasperated, exasperated dad, and it's Littlefinger.
Yeah, just smoking a cigarette, drinking at the breakfast table,
wearing cardigans. Just, lots of cardigans.
Beautiful dirt bag.
Tommy Carchetti.
And then, of course, his brother, who is the sad little bear from Midsummer.
His brother is 100% Christian from Midsummer. That actor is American.
Wow.
I was amazed.
That's surprising.
It's really strange that they have, I guess it's not really strange, but I just, you know, because it's an Irish film and all the actors are either English or Irish, I just assumed he was also Irish. He is not.
Yeah. That's
he's
so
doing
weird.
A voice, Dave.
Yeah, he's in a Transformers as well.
Apparently,
he was. I think he was primed to be like a Hemsworth at one point. People were like,
he
is he going to be a Hemsworth?
He has a Chris Pratt look to him. He looks vaguely Prattish.
Yeah. And it looks like he mostly does like more indie stuff.
Well, good
and
for
so,
him.
Yeah, I agree. This was 2016, I believe, this Sing Street.
Yeah.
So it's post Once. The director Once has done and continues to do many musical movies. He did that one with Ruffles, it's Ruffles and like an Anne Hathaway, I want to say. He did it. I'll look it up
nothing.
Real quick. It's you'd know the name of it if you he's done Begin Again. That's the one. It was 2013. He just did Flora and Sun, which I haven't seen. I haven't seen most of these.
The point is he was a sad bear.
He was a sad bear.
No,
I'm talking about the director, but yes.
Oh, I see.
Midsummer, very sad bear. Bad little bear too. He got what was coming to him. How'd you like Sing Street?
I thought it was cute. It was. I can tell that it's of a piece with Once because it's very. I don't want to say it's naive, but it is kind of fairy tale-ish in the way that Once was. And it is about sort of It seems to be about the act of dreaming rather than the dream itself, because the dream itself almost, and I think that's what we see with his parents in this movie.
Yeah.
But so there is a fairy tale kind of heightened reality quality to it, where there is just like things just kind of magically work out for these characters throughout the film. So there's a little bit of tweeness to it in that way, but I think it's very sweet, and I think its message is, I like its message.
It doesn't work out in a big way.
No, it's just, but it doesn't.
I know what you mean.
It wisely ends before the realization of the dream, right? It's still all about the dreaming rather than the dream itself. It's all about the kids want to be in this band, and it ends with them taking off on this tiny ass boat from Ireland to England. They will surely die.
Yeah, it ends on a metaphor where it's like little boat in a big ocean.
Exactly,
in the storm, never to be seen again, probably.
Most likely, yeah.
If they survive the storm, they'll be shanked in London.
Oh, yeah.
But
they will immediately get robbed and killed in London.
Yeah, it's...
off to London to become a statistic.
Yeah, I thought it was also sweet. I like... So we've watched four now. We watched The Commitments... Good Vibrations and Sing Street. And I would say they all have terrible names. I think Once is the best name out of those. Cause I think Sing Street is a terrible name for a band. Good Vibrations, terrible name for like a punk label. Like I didn't even realize that was going to be a punk label. The Commitments, so generic, I thought, but like, yeah, I guess that's a soul music cover band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but this is like glam rock, and it's like the
new wave movement in the 80s. It's very much in the 80s.
Sing Street sounds like a musical from the 30s.
It sounds like a Disney band to me.
Yeah.
Which
and I so that's why that's what I assume. Well, I'm just saying like that actually kind of matters because like this title repelled me.
That's true. Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't depict the movie that. And the style of music.
Yeah, because like the movie is okay. It's this family, this Irish family who has moved. They're in Dublin. They're very, very poor.
It's 1985.
They're very poor. They've had to move him from this private Jesuit school to a much more affordable parochial school.
Right. For the record, they're real abusive
dickhead priests.
Yes, that priest is a monster.
He's a real son of a bitch, yeah.
I just want to say they're poor by Dublin 1985 standards, and that's all to say that they have a beautiful large house.
Right, they have a little townhouse that they live in.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's modest, they're a five-person family, but...
Oh, for sure.
It's poor in the sense that they can't send into private school anymore. They're both out of work is the problem. That's what
right.
It
they're
is.
They're new poor.
Yeah,
they're just getting poor, and they're also it's clear that the relationship with the mom
right
and
they're
rocky.
They're falling apart because of it. Yeah,
yeah.
And anyway, he is at this new school, and to impress this girl, he notices across the street every morning while all the kids are lining up for this academy, he walks over there to chatter up, I guess, as you would say in Ireland. And he just invents a band out of thin air as an excuse to talk to her because she's like, I'm a model. He's like, well, that's great. We're looking for models to shoot in this music video because I'm making a band. And he's really into music. He has this big musical bond with his older brother, and they watch Top of the Pops every night, which I couldn't. I had recently, within the last 2 years, I watched that Netflix documentary about Jimmy Savile, the guy who hosted Top of the Pops, where he's this monstrous child molester for decades.
Oh, Jesus.
So it was weird to see a reference to that show.
Yeah, that
is
weird.
It was like Total Request Live in Britain. He wasn't the only host, I don't think. So anyway, but it just...
Right, but like, it makes sense because it's 1985. Right. What are they going to watch?
I think he was still making it. Anyway. That's an unrelated tangent. So he invents this band out of thin air and then has to put together a band and just finds fellow classmates in this school and they just make
it's
a
like
band. They sort of reverse engineer a band because he wants to talk to this girl.
He wants to get laid. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he discovers that he actually has this great ability to write songs and he has this great feel with his band. And even though like, he changes genres as often as he changes clothes. Like he goes through like Depeche Mode to The Cure to like something more like Culture Club at the end. Well, like he's going through every phase of New Wave. But that's what you do when you're a teenager.
I mean, the idea, right, is that his brother is the one who's into music. So he's mimicking, like when he's trying to show that he's into music, he just saying says shit.
He parrots what his brother said. Yeah.
So this kid, like, it's like a Seinfeld episode, like this elaborate lie that he's created because he wants to impress this girl.
It's if George Costanza was actually really good at being in a band.
Yeah. Because that's what's funny is the lie spins out of control so much that it becomes like, no, that's the main thing he's doing now. He becomes committed to the
band.
That's
the thing. It doesn't spin out of control. It just, that's the, you know, part of the fairy tale quality. It just magically falls into place. Like, he meets this kid who just happens to be a great manager. He knows everybody. And the first person he introduces him to is Eamon, that guy that plays every instrument.
Right, yes.
It's like very convenient.
Yeah, they don't need to like practice. This is like interesting because it's the band stuff is almost on the back burner.
It is.
Where you look at a movie like Once is almost about the process more. And then you look at like things like The Commitments or Good Vibrations. There's some element of like they kind of suck or they're trying to figure it out. They kind of form the band and they're like, yeah, we're good now. And it's like, okay.
They just gel. Like that's what I was saying about like the magicalness of it. Like they just gel. There's never really any strife. There's like fun strife, like when they show up for the music fit. I love the bass player. He might be my favorite guy, but he shows up with a cowboy costume.
So good. And vampire teeth.
And vampire teeth, just because they're like, bring costumes. So he brought a Halloween costume.
It's so good.
And he's just like, when they want to put makeup on him, he's like, I'm not wearing makeup.
Yeah.
Like, but you'll wear a cowboy suit.
Yeah. And then he relents, so he has lipstick on. And then
he's just as like Dracula mod and new wave as the rest of them, but
right, they slowly become
they all just gel and they're all amazing. I don't know, there's, you're right, because that's not the point. The point is about, it's the hope that the dreaming gives you, right? Like, because they're all these dead end kids, they're all doing poorly in school. It's not a very good school. Like, it's run down, the priests are all mean. One of them's teaching the wrong lesson when they get in there. He's teaching them Latin. He's supposed to be teaching them French.
He's like, got a flask.
Yeah, he's like 90 years old. He has a flask. Like but that's the point. The point is like, and like his parents are so preoccupied with what's going on with them. They don't even realize he started a band. Like nobody is looking out for these kids is the point.
Yeah.
Just saying I'm agreeing that the band's not important. It could have been anything. It's just like a band is very frequently the thing, the dream that kids like this do attach themselves to. So it's just more about like the hope that it gives them to pull together and move out or take a chance with their lives, I guess, you know?
I'm not sure. So I agree that it could be anything, the band, but it seems like having watched all these films that music in this era too, like it feels like a lot of it has to do with like, this is an era that wasn't great.
Exactly. You know,
Good Vibrations kind of takes place a little earlier than this, I think, like
in the
70s into 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of shit going on there.
Yeah, it's the troubles.
And what we're learning is that Dublin, it's really funny, is all of these movies, Dublin stands in for like middle America. Like, to give people perspective, London in these movies is seen as New York or LA, right? Which is like, I got to get to London. London's where it's all happening. If you remember Once, he's going to London, right?
Yeah,
and she has to stay behind.
Exactly. Yeah.
There's always these aspirations of London is where you make it. And so we're in Dublin, which I guess is seen as like, this is bullshit. You know, like this place sucks. We got to get out of this place. It looks great to me, but that's what the movies are doing. And it seems like that what these movies kind of are circling around is in this time of hardship, people like turn to music, right? Like,
well,
this
yes,
was the
yeah.
80s was a big time for punk music and like new wave
in
and,
Europe,
like,
specifically, because it's post World War II, it's a lot of economic strife, and then like we were saying in Ireland they have like the troubles and there's a lot of downtrodden people with not a lot of hope in this period of time.
Honestly, like, if there was ever a time for punk to come back, it would be right now in America.
Yep.
And I'm kind of surprised it hasn't. I guess I'm not doing anything to help, but like, it's just interesting that we're in that point, you know, a similar point where people might turn to something like that. And yeah. like, I think that's a big part of this, is that he kind of uses this music to rebel, right? Like he starts off as this, like, you know, little dweeby kid, off, he's getting right. bullied.
It starts off as an outfit that he tries on, but then it becomes, like, it does spark something inside of him. It inspires him.
It becomes armor, in a way.
Yeah, it does, yeah. But it's, and there's a disingenuous aspect to it, which I appreciated, this aspect of the movie, where, like, he only starts the band to impress a girl. He changes genres just based on whatever he just saw on Top of the Pops with his brother. Whatever his brother just told him, this is cool. He starts doing that, copying that. But, like, that's what you do when you're a teenager. And he is authentically, like, inspired. He's writing these songs. He's making good music. He's, you know, it's enriching himself and his friends. So it's like, it's a positive thing. You do it for... You know, you get into things for shitty, superficial reasons a lot of the time when you're this age, but it doesn't mean that the inspiration isn't genuine. So I appreciated that, like, aspect. Because the movie's very funny, too. I don't know if we've mentioned that.
Oh, yeah.
So it does toy with this idea of him being simultaneously this artiste, this, like, tortured soul, and also just kind of a poser. Like,
yeah. So well, that's what you are. Yeah.
Yeah, like, so I kind of laugh at him a little bit, even when he's having these big dramatic moments, but it's none of it's disingenuous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And they're all, oh no, they're all little twerps. I was watching it with Hannah, and I just wrote down one quote from Hannah, which was, they're so pink, which I thought was very funny.
They are.
Because they're
pink.
All a bunch of little pink, fuckers.
They'll have, the little red cheeks because they're all like 15.
Yeah. And then the bully holds him up with a slingshot, and I was like, that's adorable.
The bully who just looks like the bully from the video game Bully.
Bully, yes.
This guy was arch bully, classic bully.
Right, I checked the date because I was like, did they base Bully off of this?
It's Bully came out before this.
Yeah, but it's the same setup, right? It's an all boys religious school. So, like, if you're picturing the game Bully, you are correct. Like, that's what his school basically is. It's a less fancy, way
shittier academy. Like, this is where the Dead End kids go to get smarts beaten into them by priests. Like, this is not a good
about
school.
This. Is this an American thing too? Because there's this, I've never seen a school look like this. What I mean is, even bully, like these Hogwarts ass looking schools that are, everybody wears a uniform. That's just not my world. I grew up in Massachusetts. There's plenty of private schools. Don't get
there's
me wrong.
Plenty of kids that wear uniforms in your home state.
Yes. But, like, this, like, weird religious private school, I don't know. I've never had a background. And it's treated in this like it's a prison. Like, they're like, oh, fuck, he's going to the scum school. And it's just a weird mix of, like, it's still, like, a religious uniform school.
Mm-hmm.
But when he goes there, it's, like, new fish shit. Like, they're throwing stuff at them. It might as well be a prison.
Right.
He has to fight in the lunchroom. Like, it's just such a weird mixture of ideas for me that I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It's just very foreign
just
to me.
Think of it like military school,
right?
Like the way they always in American movies, they're always threatening to send you to military school. Like, this is like reform school for bad kids,
right? Yeah, see, this aesthetic I always associated with having money,
like, quote unquote, that's what it's supposed to be, but it's really just, it's a very poorly funded school.
Right.
And so all the kids with no money go there, and it's a self. You guys know, we don't need to get into the
well, that's the thing, the
systemic issues that create self-fulfilling prophecies.
Well, yeah. I just didn't know that there was like the version of a private school, but not upper class. Like, I always thought when you have to wear a uniform, your parents are rich. Like, that's how I always in my head.
I don't think necessarily.
Of it.
I think it just depends on the school. It's more common in the UK. I don't know. I think it just depends on where you get sent. But, like, the idea of wearing it's supposed to discipline you, right?
Right.
Like, that's the idea. So, like, I mean, there are public schools that have uniforms, I think. Anyway, we can move on.
They should not. Schools shouldn't have uniforms. That just seems like a bummer.
Yeah, I wore a shirt and tie every day for 7 or 8 years.
Do it?
Yeah. I mean, I went to private school in high school and middle school, but.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, my friend did.
I guess.
Well, you get, I mean, it depends. My friend went to some really nice schools because his dad was a teacher who taught at those schools. So it wasn't that they had like money. They just happened to have that in, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
Which was a nice, but I would bum around there every now and then like a scumbag. We went dumpster diving on graduation, which was really cool because they were all like international students. So they were throwing out like their laptops, like these rich international students. It was a good deal.
All right. Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah, if you ever need to dumpster dive, go to a fancy international private school on graduation day.
Yeah.
Because they have to empty their dorms, and they're all rich, so they're like, just put it in a dumpster. And guess what?
They'll be throwing out all their EU to US adapters, too.
Exactly. Exactly.
And you can stock up on those.
Anywho, it's all to say that, like, this isn't the same experience I had, but I remember middle school having no identity, being like kind of a mutt, you know, like being this mix of like my hair was long and shitty. I didn't really have, you know, I just got out middle of a school, small elementary school.
Yeah, it's the worst because like you're stuck between elementary school where you're just like doing whatever everybody else does.
Yeah, where you're like, I'm a kid, you know, yeah, like you can be a shitty kid.
And then you get to middle school, you're like, oh, I have to have a personality now. I don't know. It's hard. It's like you want to, do I like the things that I genuinely like or do I like the stuff that's popular? It's the worst time of your life.
It's the worst time.
this is sort of
capturing that. And then I also had a big sister who had like cool friends. So I remember that, like kind of tapping into the older sibling and their world and being able to like be a little ahead on some things for that reason. Mm-hmm. But for me, it wasn't like their music was, I didn't really jive with their music, but horror was the thing, right? Where like I watched Evil Dead because my sister and her friends were watching it. And so like, that's all to say this really resonated with me with that dynamic of like the older brother tapping into their world a little bit, finding like inspiration in order to find an identity and like, yeah, jumping around for a while, right? Like, mm-hmm. until you land on the thing where you're like, this is what I am. And using that thing as armor. Like when I discovered punk, it became a thing where you can sort of hide behind
it. Yeah, it shields and you from a lot of stuff.
Yeah, because it becomes this tribalism thing where you're like, you know, fuck these other people. They don't matter.
Yep.
And that happens to him in The Bully. Like, he goes to The Bully at one point. He's like, you're in my story. Like he stands up to that bully eventually, who we, of course, learn has a terrible life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does. they hire him at the end to be a roadie, which is great.
Yeah. They show up at his door and they're like, listen, we have something in common, which is that our lives suck and we're bad at school.
Right. We're both, all three of us are going to fail out of school and we don't have any other prospects. Yeah. We're in a band. Do you want to be our roadie? This is what we're going to do when we fail out of school.
And you hear like his dad
impending.
Yeah. His dad's like screaming about beating him in the background. And the kid's like, okay, this is literally, anything is better than my current situation. I'm in. I really liked how they did that because the bully isn't like, you know, you've won my respect. He's just like, yeah, let's go.
They just lay it out. they meet him on their common ground. They're like, look, we're all from the same neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, everybody's telling us we're not going anywhere. We're failing out of school anyway. We've got a plan. You want in on it?
Yeah, it's not a good plan.
It may not work, but we've got a plan.
He does kind of abandon the band at the end. For the record, like, it's not the band on the boat, so like,
well, remember what Eamon tells them in that like two scenes before when they're writing that one last song. He's like, yeah, no, he's like, Eamon actually puts the idea in his head. He's like, yeah, you should go to London with her, you should take her to London, get a record deal, that'd be great for us.
Oh yeah.
Like, and he's like, well, what about the band? And he's like, band's fine, we're not going anywhere. Like,
yeah,
that's the whole idea, right? We're not going anywhere,
right? Exactly. Him going with her does still represent all that for sure.
Right, he's carrying all the hopes and dreams with them.
Yes.
You know.
To get stabbed by a shark.
And of his brother, too. Like, his brother watches him leave.
I really like the big brother stuff in this. So his big brother is like a stoner.
It's very subtle, yeah.
Yeah, he's sort of, Like, he gives him advice. He says, rock and roll is a risk. You risk being ridiculed, yep. which is a great line where he's just like, you're putting yourself, you're writing poetry to music.
That,
like,
as,
you're, it's ridiculous what you're going
to
do.
I'm glad you hit that. I just wanted to jump in real quick because I'm glad you mentioned that line. That one really hit me because as a person who did, I wrote music and played in a band professionally for about 10 years. And that really stuck me because it's absolutely true. Like, you're getting up there, you're 9 times out of 10 wearing some ridiculous outfit, singing poetry that you wrote to a bunch of strangers.
It's real
and
bleak.
If they're not into whatever vibe you're laying down,
they're gonna crush you.
It is a nightmare to. Yeah. Man,
it's one of those things. It's kind of similar to stand-up comedy.
That's doing, like, yeah, having done the band for 10 years before I did stand-up helped a lot, because it's like, well, right. I already have, like, it's nervous until you get on the stage and then, like, the armor comes on.
Right. There's you're putting yourself up for humiliation.
Yes.
Where I'd argue stand-up comics are even worse, because, like, rock stars get laid. I feel like stand-up comics are not, like,
you're also,
that's not, even when you're good at it, it's not, like, a sexy job.
You're also not, the band has a lot. You're not by yourself. You literally have an instrument in front of you usually. So I've got that. Like, you're hiding behind the persona of the band as the armor. With a comedian, it's like you have your own persona that you come out and sort of that becomes your armor. But it is a lot like it's just you up there fucking talking.
Yeah.
So anyway, we should get back to the movie.
Yeah. I mean, well, this is all part
of the
movie,
I think. I did want to say, I'm sorry, because I interrupted you.
No, go.
But I did want to say something real quick between the four Irish musicals that we talked about. Something interesting between three of them, the only odd man out is Good Vibrations, and part of it is because it's like a true story. It's like a biopic or biopic of that real guy. But the other three, The Commitments, this one, Sing Street, and Once, are all really glomming on to the idea of a single moment in time, like a moment that doesn't last, a moment that is transitory or ethereal, or not ethereal, ephemeral.
Right. And that's because that's what music is.
That's what music is,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is important.
And it's all about, like, Once and this one, Once and Sing Street in particular, but The Commitments too is really just about them pulling their shit together to do one great gig, and that was it. It fell apart after that. So it's kind of the same idea, but I really like that idea of, like, it's such a bittersweet idea, but it's really inspiring and comforting at the same time of, like, you get to put all your energy and your soul into this thing that's only going to exist for a few minutes or a single moment in time.
I think that's why it shares a lot of its DNA with romance, with love story movies. Like, there's a lot of things this crosses over with, right? Like, I was thinking of Good Will Hunting too, where it's like about someone with like a talent who has to make a decision, and the movie never shows you the result, right? It's always like, you got to shoot your shot. You got to go do this thing. It's again, this moment idea where it's like these moments, they come and they're going to go. And I feel like you get that a lot in romance movies where it's like two people get to share a moment that they, no matter what happens after that. Like, this movie and, like, Titanic have similar DNA in that way. Especially when the characters all die to the ocean in both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. the one great gig in the sea.
Yeah. But, yeah, like, it's interesting how that naturally comes, like, romantic stuff naturally comes with music stuff. And that's one of the weirder things in this was, I think, paying off the romance felt like it. It wasn't something I expected, and I'm like glad sometimes they gotta end happy. But I liked, I don't know. I want to go back to the brother, but I liked, like, she basically, Rafina is her name, the model. She has like a dirtbag boyfriend, a real beautiful. Listen to Phil Collins.
When
dirtbag.
That was the. I'm sorry, just real quick, I want to interject. That was the biggest laugh of the movie is when he's dropping her off.
In his stupid white car and his goatee.
I forget his name now, but like our main character, Connor/Cosmo, as she renames him, keeps referring to her boyfriend by his full name. Like his first and last name. I can't remember what it was. It's like Ross Evans or something.
Yeah.
But like, so he pulls up to drop her off after they've shot the video, and it's gone really well. So we think maybe sparks are starting to fly. And then this guy pulls up in his tiny little convertible. You know, it's a boxy little 80s convertible.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, so you're the band guy, huh? Cute, cool. And like, she gets in the car and she's like, see you later. Like, all right, see you later. And he says, fuck, I should have written it down. He says, the boyfriend, Ross Evans, or whatever his name is, he throws out some quip as they're driving away. Do you remember what it was?
Oh,
it was something.
I don't know. Maybe something about his outfit. I forget.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Yeah.
It was something about the costume he was wearing. And then, right as he's saying it, like, it's a thing you're meant to shout at somebody as you're driving away, you know, like, nice frilly collar, dickhead, you know?
Yeah.
But he says it as he's turning into a driveway to turn around, and he stalls his car out.
Yeah, it's so good.
And then it goes like, shit. And then, like, the gears grind and the car, like, jumps. It's like such a... You were trying to go out on a cool line, and he just fucks it up. And then he manages to, like, clunkily turn the car around and drives away listening to Phil Collins.
It's so good.
The funniest moment of the movie.
It's so good. I like how everybody's kind of an asshole.
They didn't need to tell us this guy was lame.
Yeah.
In the very next scene, he's telling his brother, his older brother, about it. It's like, yeah, and I think I'm done. Like, she has this boyfriend. It's like, did she say where his was her boyfriend? No. What was he listening to? Genesis. He's not going to be a problem. And that's it.
It's so good.
He just drives away blasting Phil Collins.
What an asshole.
Sorry, I just had to interject.
No, so like,
that was
there's
a
lot of
belly
good.
I love when the car stalled. Oh shit!
There's a lot of good little moments like that.
Yeah.
I like when Littlefinger doesn't understand the concept of music videos, where he's like,
"Oh yeah,
he's not even singing live. What is this?"
Well, he doesn't understand because usually on Top of the Pops they would have him come perform live.
Right.
So he does. It's like, why are they showing a video? Why don't they come sing live? And then the kids are like, because they just said, Dad, they're on tour in America. God.
Yeah, it's art.
It's art. Yeah. This thing lives forever. Yeah.
Yeah. I like when she says to him, there's no real work for models in Dublin. And he goes, yeah, tell me about it. Like trying
Solid
to be conversational.
Line.
Yeah.
Well, I picked it up as a joke.
Yeah,
because
that's
at that
true.
Point in the conversation.
Well, he's like weirdly awkward, too.
He's a little awkward, but he's also like a little clever, too. Like
right.
There's moments when he's clever, so like
that's
in that
true.
In that conversation, I took that as a joke. But either way, it's funny.
I like the kid being into rabbits, where he's like, "What's with you and rabbits?" He's like, "I don't know, I just love them."
Just like rabbits. And his first suggestion—that's Eamon. And his first suggestion for the band name is, "What about the rabbits?"
Yeah. I like when the brother first hears their tape and destroys it. And he's like, you can record over tapes.
And he's like, no.
This needs to be destroyed.
We have to destroy this.
Yeah.
It's them doing a cover of Rio by Duran.
Yeah, because that's his first advice. You're not a cover band.
Yeah.
So
he says covers band, which I thought that must be a UK thing.
Yeah. Is that like pluralizing, you know?
A band that plays covers, I assume.
Yeah.
Say cover band here.
It's not like saying I'll have two burritos supreme. Like, it's not that. It's not like proper English.
No, it is proper English, I believe,
okay.
Right? Because that's a band that plays multiple covers.
Oh, I see what you mean. I was thinking multiple cover bands would be called covers band.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's just the way they say cover band. I don't know. It's language. It's weird. Let's move on.
It's weird. It's terrible. I really like, so the brother basically has this arc where he's like a stoner. He's giving advice and then he sort of sees him be successful. And he says a very big sibling thing, which is another thing where he says, you get to follow in the path that I macheted through this family, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I've talked to my sister about this. He says, you moved in my jet stream, which is the idea that the first kid is always the one that you kind of like fuck up on. And then the second kid, you're like, okay, we figured it out. And like, I had that as the second kid where it's like, there was an amount of like, yeah, my parents had kind of figured it out. Right. Where mm-hmm. they didn't make. So like I really like that the brother is sort of mad about that, of like I had to deal with them when they were like in their 20s and they were a mess, and then you came along and everything was great, and now you have this like you're like accomplishing stuff and I'm just high. And then at the end, like, they don't really complete his arc, but I do like that he still does the big brother thing, which is like, I need to go do this very stupid thing. Will you help me? And he's like, yeah, I'll help you.
Yeah, sure.
And basically drives them to the dock so they can take their grandfather's boat to London. And he watches them go and says, no, he says it to him. He says, you'll probably die. Okay, go.
Yep.
And he just watches him like, there he goes. Probably going to die.
It's folks, it's like an 8-foot boat. They are 100% going to die.
It is one step up from a rowboat.
Yeah.
Like, so like it is basically a rowboat with like a little front piece where it's like you could probably put shit in it.
It's a rowboat with a windshield and an outboard motor.
Yes. And it's called Jim. The boat is called
the
Jim.
The boat is called Jim. Yeah.
Yeah. He is going to. That's
I don't
boat
think
to die
Jim
in.
Is making it across the channel.
Yeah. It's amazing. They immediately go into a storm. Which again, you know, symbolism. They run into a big boat. It's a little ship running into a bunch of little ships big ships in the ocean.
Yeah, a big ship full of dreamers. People coming to Ireland for hope. Like they're coming to Dublin looking for work, I think, is what they were saying.
Oh, right.
Or they're I think so. Or it's the opposite. I think it's the opposite. I can't remember. There's a lot of exposition at the beginning of this film.
Yeah, there is.
Just to clue us, that's the only sort of thing that kind of brushed up against. But I think it's just to sort of acclimate. It's clear this is meant to be an international film and not just for Ireland.
Yeah.
So they wanted to
explain it.
Yeah, they wanted to clue people in who didn't grow up in Ireland during this time. That's what was going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, in terms of hits against this film, like, I generally liked it. It's very cliche. Like, the evil teacher.
It is. Very twee.
Yeah, the evil teacher fucking waterboarding his ass to get the makeup off, just drowning him in the sink, saying no more Ziggy Stardust. And then, like, he's just a mustache twirling. Not to say there wasn't teachers like this in the 80s.
There weren't thousands of these kinds of teachers.
Yeah, for the record. But I think it's like the ending where they just play the song and the teacher goes like, oh, no, and like runs out. Where it's like, all right, that seems like a very simplistic view on how this would go. But they're invoking Back to the Future, which is a movie that also is kind of simplistic in these dynamics, right? Where it's like, here's the shitty principal, here's the bully, like, here's the dance, and all he has to do is punch the bully. So, like, there's this idea, like, they play a Back to the Future themed, or they try to make a Back to the Future themed music video, but it's, like, real shitty, and then he has, like, the fantasy about how it should go, and it's sort of, like, wish fulfillment about his parents being back together, mm-hmm. and his brother being okay. So it's all to say it's weird there when they're recognizing this, like, elevated fantasy world, while the movie kind of is also that at times, it's also kind of a cliche.
Yeah,
but I like.
It's not drastic enough that it was ever confusing.
No,
or
not
felt
at all.
Weird. It was just like, yeah, we get it. This is what music is for him. This is what it represents to him. The possibility, the hope. The, like I keep saying, the dream.
Yeah, and I think they earned it for the like the part with so going back to that shitty boyfriend and Ruffina, like she abandons him that in that scene, like when they're shooting that music video, basically we get this, like this whole little fucking saga that happened off camera where she shows back up and she says, yeah, my boyfriend dumped me. He slapped me or hit me and he treated me like shit. And he said, I wasn't a good model. And he left. She basically says, like,
probably
now I'm
listening to Genesis as he drove away.
Yeah. So like, it's like this weird freebie where it's like she comes back to him. But I did like that he doesn't kind of accept it right away, because she says, like, now I'm stuck here hanging out with a bunch of 15-year-olds. And you realize, like, she doesn't really.
She hasn't been taking him seriously. Yeah,
exactly. Like, she abandoned him. Mm-hmm. She just ditched him. And it's a weird thing to navigate, because they sort of just make up after that.
Yeah.
Like, she just comes and watches him, and then they go together to London. And I was like, I feel like there's more for them to work out there.
Right, because they treat it like. He treats it like, oh, a girl I thought was my girlfriend. But it's like in that moment, the betrayal, the hurt that that I felt more was that they had collaborated on all this.
Yeah.
Like they were working together. Like he was telling her his, sharing his lyrics and explaining what they meant. And she was giving her input. And she had a lot of input on the different videos that they shot. And they were coming up with stuff together. Like she was part of the group.
So right.
Like, I thought that was it. Like that's the, but the movie just sort of, again, very simplistically, doesn't want to focus on actual complicated. Well, I mean, there yes. are some, but like it's
oh, no, I so for example,
it tries to make things as uncomplicated as possible, I think, yes. in these relationships.
Sometimes it succeeds. I think the bully it succeeded in.
Yes.
Because that was also them trying to be very simple, wrapping it up. The brother just being like, you go do it. You know, like, but that's also like, I bought that. That's fine. He's a big brother. He's supportive. But she was the only one that I was like, this, I don't quite buy this. I think, I thought the arc, man, you probably thought this too, was that he starts the band to try to impress the girl. And then he cares more about the band ultimately.
Yes. Yeah. What he has to learn to do the band for the right reason. And yeah. that's what he does.
And that's
he still does the gig. He still gets into it. He still has a great time. And she shows up at the very end for the very last song.
Right. And I feel like we didn't need that. That almost undercuts it in a weird way where it's like, I'd rather her be happy with her boyfriend and him to be like, all right, we're not a thing. But like you're saying, we're collaborating, like mm-hmm. we're partners in another way. Had they like built a friendship more and it ended with her coming back as a friend. Like not because her boyfriend was like a sudden monster, like her coming back just as a collaborator, as a friend, as a, you know, like, and on that level, I think that would have been better personally. But then I don't know. I guess that's not as much wish fulfillment, right? Where it's like,
yeah, it's not as much as we're just going to go to London. We're going to the big city right now with just a clothes on our back and a pocket full of dreams. And we're going to take on the world.
Her like model photos,
her model and photos his and his demo tape. Yep.
Yeah. They're literally going to get off the boat and just shanked. And they'll take both of those items and run.
Their throat slashed the second yeah. they get into London.
Yeah.
They're going to be floating in the Thames.
Yeah, exactly. They won't even get off the boat.
No.
They will just, yeah.
That boat's gonna get capsized by like a gentle wave.
Yeah, I mean that's really what's gonna happen is they're gonna wash ashore in Dublin. Like they won't even get so far.
No, they're gonna be an episode
as to like wash ashore in London.
They won't even get that. There'll be an episode of Unsolved Mysteries.
Yeah, where they're like the only thing that would explain this is if they just went out into the ocean by themselves, but that would be dumb. Interview with the brother who's like, yeah, I don't know what happened. I never saw
them.
Yeah, that
would
morning.
Be really dumb if they did that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oof.
Luckily
they
have,
didn't.
I don't know anything
luckily,
about that.
I have
that.
No knowledge of what may or may not have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that brother left and immediately established an alibi.
Right, he left and like 2 minutes into his drive back to the house, he's like, oh, they're certainly going to die.
Yeah. Do they?
There is 0% chance they live. Yeah. Do they have the Coast Guard in Ireland?
I don't know. Apparently they don't have divorce. But that's
not in the 1980s apparently.
Yeah because it's just funny because it's like clearly I think they got divorced in like the 90s, and honestly I don't know when divorce was for anywhere else, but it's just funny because they're still like, we're legally
in America.
Yeah, see, and they're like, we're legally separating, and it's like, yeah, this is dumb, just having a divorce, right? Like, because the mom and dad still separate. They still say like it's clear that even though there's no divorce, we got around that like immediately, it felt like, and they're still separating. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's almost as if moralized legislation is dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. And then these weird loopholes that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just have divorce.
Just have divorce, man.
Yeah. Do I have anything else about this movie? Do you have anything else about this movie? Oh, I had one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
I never get tired of a scene where a band comes on stage, everybody laughs, and then they play good rock and roll and everybody loves them.
Yeah.
It's like a dad film. I really enjoy, though, that they do that only a little bit. Like, they're still, like, near the end of their set, you can still hear people yelling.
People are jeering
at them.
Yeah, they're still, yeah, because they're always, invariably.
It's, because it's a school. I like when they, like, they get the crowd on their side, and then they're like, here's a slow song, and everybody goes, ah, fuck you, and walks away. Like, I like that the crowd had more energy than just, and it didn't feel like NPCs. Like, it was the crowd
alive. It felt like they were playing music for themselves, like their peers, you know, they're yeah. it's of them by them, you know. It's I really liked the bass player in that moment where he's like, no, we can't play a slow song.
Yeah,
like, if we they're into us, if we do that, we're gonna fucking lose them, we're gonna
hate
they us.
All kind of agree, and they're like, it's a risk, and he's like, fuck it.
Then he asks Eamon, and Eamon's like, yeah, let's do it, fuck it.
Yeah. But that's great. Like, I just like that the crowd is more dynamic than, like, we don't like you and now we like you.
Right. Because you see when they play the slow song, everybody in the back of the gymnasium, and there's a couple of couples slow dancing, but most of the people are in the back waiting for the slow song to be over.
Yeah. They're just hanging out.
Yeah.
I think there's an argument to be made because I think the band gets too good too fast, but this is sort of. This is under the genre musical, right?
Yeah.
And so, like, a musical is always this heightened reality where, like, you can imagine maybe
of musical.
Right. Yes. But, like, you could argue maybe they're not as good as we're actually hearing. You know what I mean? Where it's
could
like,
be, yeah.
What if it's just, you know, if you want to make a movie about a band, it's hard if the band sucks because then no one wants to watch the movie because the music sucks, right? So, like, it's a hard decision to make, right? Where it's like they have that moment where they're like, oh, we suck for a minute. And then because he's like, we don't know how to play. And he's like, neither did the Sex Pistols. But they don't embrace that. Ultimately, they're just a good band. As far as I can tell, I'm not a music person.
They see,
but
yeah.
They seem like they're just a good. It just all works out.
Yeah. And again, I think it's because the point isn't about them getting together and getting good. It's about other things.
For sure. But it's good. I don't know. I liked it. It was a breezy watch.
It's a charming little film.
Yeah.
There's some dated slurs in it because it's a movie that takes place in the 80s.
Yeah, I mean, it knows. It knows that those are bad things to say, and they have to, you know, it's a period piece, and it is realistic. It's funny how that is, like, a period piece that takes place in the 1800s somehow tends to have less offensive language than a period piece that just takes place in the 80s, because the 80s is just such a terrible time for language coming out of people's mouths, it feels like.
Yeah, it's really... We're really trying to be as efficiently awful as possible in the 80s.
Right, it feels like we had none of the, like, respectability, the idea of, like, polite society as old-timey, and just as much racism.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, that combination. It's not great.
I think it's just in the 18. You're saying, like, in 1880, it's like less white knuckle. I think it's just they hadn't invented a lot of the words yet.
That's true. And I mean, we were doing very racist. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the 1800s were, like, better. I'm saying that there was, like, this idea of civility behind the horror more. That I guess still existed in the 80s and today.
I guess. What is this tangent?
I don't know, man. They brush on it a little bit. They literally do the South Park joke where they're like, "Let's ask the one black kid."
Oh yeah,
if he can play instruments.
I did that one. I did flag that one.
I did like the mom fucking with them.
Yeah,
where they, like, knock on the door and they're like, "Does that black kid live here?" And she's like, "No, four doors down." And they start to go, and she's like, "Wait, what do you fucking think? Like, we're the only black family here."
Yeah.
Yeah,
I flagged that one just because, like, it's literally it's a South Park joke from, like, 2007.
Yeah. Also, that character barely exists in this movie.
Yeah.
After that, like, I wanted to know more about him. Like, for the record, neither, like, I can't tell you what the drummer was like either. Like, it wasn't, He was one of the
most
several...
of the band members aren't really characters.
Yeah, exactly. So they're fleshing them out as much as they can for that brief moment. So it's not like it's not egregious.
No. I was more just over it was repeating an old joke, and it didn't really seem to like the character that said it. It's like what? Like we haven't been. He hasn't demonstrated himself to be an idiot at that point, and he doesn't afterward. He's actually like pretty smart.
Yeah.
So it was weird that they just had him be like a dumb racist for a scene.
For that one moment. It was like they were trying to achieve something there and they wanted to get it in there. I don't know.
Yeah, it was weird. It was weird.
Yeah. You know the bully was in Solo, a Star Wars story?
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. Why not?
He does look I bet he was like you slap a little hat on him, he's Empire.
Ah, he looks like an Empire dude. Yeah, you put a little helmet on that dude.
Yeah, I assume that's what he was.
Yeah, he's got Empire face.
He does have Empire face.
And not just because he's a British actor. Or Irish actor, sorry.
No, he's just got Empire face. Some
people have Empire face. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Are we done?
I think so.
Mickey, for therapy, thank you so much. If this is the last of this series, of this quadrilogy, which I think it is. I'm not going to look it up. Thank you so much. This was a delight. I came out of this with a few new films that I like. I mean, I had seen once, and I continue to like once, but fascinating. Fascinating little cluster of films.
Yeah. I've enjoyed them. I've enjoyed this trip to the Emerald Isle.
Mm-hmm, me too. So thank you, Mickey.
This
was through our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed, GAMEFULLY, unemployed. There are tiers where you can have custom We Just Watched episodes like the one you're listening to. But we also watch movies every Friday night. That's through our Discord. There's also exclusive podcasts on there. Tom and Jeff Watch Batman, Fox Mulder's a Maniac, Star Trek Next Futurama, Spiel Boys. So that's just $5 a month for that. So like if you just kick in a little bit of money, less than the price of a Twitter Blue subscription, you can get so much more than
so
you would for
more.
Twitter Blue.
Mm.
Yeah. So much more. We don't have Grok.
We don't have Grok. A lot less Nazis, though.
Yes. A lot less. Yes. Considerably less.
Considerably less. We also have a store. Head over to GameFanEmployed.com where you can find a link to our Teespring store where we have all kinds of cool original artwork and designs. You can get on t-shirts, mugs, stickers, posters, all sorts of things. So check that out.
Yeah.
Slap your Sing Street and Peepers onto that.
Yeah, slap your little finger peepers.
Ah, man.
Your brandy little guzzling. Yeah, little peepers. He was terrifying. He's always where like,
always
you see
is.
Him in the scene and I just go, watch out.
It's like
my God.
It's like seeing a scorpion in a cardigan. Like,
it is.
You look relaxed, but I don't trust it.
I don't trust it. And I never will.
Yep.
Yeah, I want him to know that.
Scorpion clutching a little tumbler of whiskey. 9 a.m.
dad sweater
breakfast table.
Yeah, this is so terrifying.